All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Below the O-Line on location here at Worldwide Technology Raceway on pit row right now. It is just short of 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time here in Madison, Illinois, where Austin Cindric won a NASCAR Cup Series race that was Ryan Blaney's to lose until he lost it. And still got a lot of adrenaline flowing and a little bit of shock and awe, probably. As that sun peeks over those grandstands. Packed crowd today, packed house. And I mean a packed house. A lot of drivers talked about this in media availability yesterday. But this racetrack and this city does such a great job of promoting these races. Like they honestly, I think they might do a better job than anybody else in the sport of promoting a race, especially because let's get through here. Especially because this is a track that only has hosted three or two races before this one. You know, this isn't a track with just an illustrious history. This isn't a track that has before today put on a race that many people would consider like classic. And I thought today was a good race, even without the wild fuel mileage games and all that were played. But to get, 60,000 butts in seats for a race that, you know, in all honesty, most people look at as just another one on the schedule is pretty insane. It's pretty incredible. So it's a really good job by everybody at this racetrack, everybody in NASCAR working here to make sure that this race is marketed as a huge event. If you were in St. Louis or the St. Louis metropolitan area this weekend, you knew there was a NASCAR race. You knew the NASCAR Cup Series was in town. There are billboards everywhere, signage, advertisements everywhere. This place does a great job of advertising their race. But let's talk about the actual race. Let's actually talk about what's happening. As I walk down here, I'm in pit stall 22 now. You had where Chris Buescher's pit box was. They've already torn all these down in the garage back there. The haulers are obviously not leaving yet, but they're getting pretty close, I would assume. Austin Cindric wins his second career win. Y'all know I'm not the biggest Austin Cindric fan. I'm not a hater, but I do think he needs to do more. I still think he probably needs to do a little bit more to make me personally think that he is worthy of a ride like the number two, a car that's been driven by the likes of Rusty Wallace, Brad Keselowski, Kurt Busch, all of whom, by the way, are NASCAR Cup Series champions. I know Busch didn't win his in that car, but to drive a car like that, there comes a certain responsibility, right? With great power comes great responsibility. With a great ride in the NASCAR Cup Series comes great responsibility. And Austin Cindric heading into this race was probably going to need a win to make the playoffs. Because in my opinion, he hadn't shown enough to show me that he could point his way in. I mean, maybe he could have. I don't know. I'm going to walk down this way pit road now because somebody got finished filming. Maybe he could have. You know, I don't know. Maybe if he found the speed, like Michael McDowell talked about it. Like he thinks, ooh, stinky stuff. Michael McDowell said that he, in his presser yesterday, said that he thinks that they needed a win to make the playoffs. He was kind-ish close to Cindric. But that two car unloaded with a lot of speed. I looked at the averages in practice, and I think he was second on the 15-lap average. Good on the long run. Which is good at a track like this. We saw some long runs today. The run to the finish, that was a long run. But he pitted one lap later than Ryan Blaney. I didn't know fuel mileage was an issue, I'll be honest. I didn't know that fuel mileage was an issue in this race. Because I'm in the media center, and then I was out on pit road. I didn't even know Blaney had run out of gas until Cindric came across the line. And I'm thinking, wait, I didn't see Blaney. Because, you know, it's so loud out here, obviously, on pit road. And I couldn't hear the commentary. I saw on the video board, I see Blaney limping around turn three. What's happening? So, that was pretty weird to see that. All the sticky stuff that the pit crews put on their pit boxes are getting stuck to my shoes, making me stick to the road here. But Brian Wilson, Austin Cindric said he called a great race today. Clearly, he did. he called a good enough race for them to win, for them to be in victory lane. That's a pretty good race, isn't it? So Cindric's locked into the playoffs. And everybody's going to say, oh, Mickey Mouse win. Doesn't, you know, bullcrap, whatever. Dude, it's not his fault Ryan Blaney ran out of gas, right? I said the same thing when Bell won the Coke 600. Same thing when Bubba won Talladega. Like, opportunistic. Being opportunistic pays in the sport. Auto racing, NASCAR, is a sport unlike any other where no matter how big a lead you have, you are never safe. Dave Moody said that. He walked, you know, in the media center, he said, anytime somebody asks me what's so special about NASCAR, he says the leader is never safe. The person winning the event is never safe. Never. They could have a lead disappear like that. I can't snap. But that's what happened to Blaney. I mean, he's going to make the playoffs. He's going to be fine. I don't know whether he wins a race or not. There's no, like, just great tracks for him coming up in the next 2 or 3 weeks, I don't think. But this one stings. Like, he got out of the car. He wasn't angry, you know, but he's just so dejected. I mean, you can tell that video I posted of him getting out of the car just breaks your heart. I've never driven a race car. I've never been that close to a victory in the NASCAR Cup Series. But if I was and it got stolen from me like that and I end up 24th, lose 23 points like that, maybe stage points soften the blow just a little bit. But man, winning these races is what pays. Ryan Blaney knows that. He learned that last fall. Winning, or at least finishing top two, pays. And, you know, it's the difference between him and Christopher Bell. Bell was battling with Blaney, and that was a great battle. I almost forgot that happened, just because of all the fuel mileage chaos. But Bell and Blaney, they're battling for the win. And it's a great battle. Bell has way fresher tires. Blaney's putting up a fight. And then you just see Bell drop back. He had engine issues. He had engine problems. You know, and Barry said his car shut off because he missed a shift. I don't know if Bell missed a shift. It sounded like he was down a cylinder when his car came by. It sounded sick. The engine sounded sick. But that was heartbreaker for Bell. But the difference is he ended up 7th. His teammate Martin Truex helped him draft. They brought the two-car tandem, the bump draft back. But, you know, that's the difference. And I know Bell's disappointed. He has 2 wins. He had a chance to tie with Byron and Hamlin this year for the most wins in the series. But, you know, just couldn't quite get it done. No fault of his own. It's very admirable that he survived the last 20 laps and got a top 10. Like, that's just the kind of thing that's happened to him this year. It's just bad luck like that. But here's the deal about Cindric, man. I still think he needs to be a little bit better. We go to Sonoma next week. You know how good he is on road courses. Chicago. Think about the first round of the playoffs. He's locked into the playoffs, by the way. Watkins Glen. Next round, the Roval. He's made it to the round of 12 before. He did that his rookie year. People forget. His rookie year, it wasn't great. But making it to the round of 12, pretty big accomplishment, especially as a rookie. So I think Cindric has a chance to really go on a run here. I think he's the biggest underdog in the playoffs, because if they can bring better speed like they did this weekend, and you know, this wasn't a road course, this wasn't Austin Cindric's wheelhouse, so to speak, it wasn't a super speedway where he'd won at before in the Cup Series. This is a 1.25 mile egg-shaped oval that is similar to Darlington, and that one end is drastically different from the other. You're going to have to sacrifice Hamlin on one end of the racetrack for the other. And at the end of the day, just in the right spot at the right time, crew chief made the right call. He drove a good enough race to put himself in that position to win. I mean, it's not like he just, you know, played the Powerball. So, you know, there's a difference between winning a rain race when you stay out, like Justin Haley at Daytona, and winning because, you know, you were running second. Second in a NASCAR Cup Series race is an insanely good day. First, even better. And I asked him in the presser, like, what were your emotions when you go from second saying it's a good points day to, holy crap, we just won a NASCAR Cup Series race. Not only did we just win a NASCAR Cup Series race, we're in the freaking playoffs. And he said, like, you know, it's just, it's hard to explain the range of emotions that you go through. Because imagine, like, the opposite for Blaney. You go from, I'm going to win a NASCAR Cup race, I'm going to be locked in the playoffs, to, I just finished 24th. And now, at least according to ESPN, Blaney is 14th. I think he's fine. He's Ryan Blaney. He's got a good enough team behind him to make it. Whether or not he wins, I think, is the biggest question. How many playoff points does he have going into the postseason? How will he stack up against Larson and Hamlin and Byron? But it's just like Kansas with Larson and Buescher. It's a thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. It's ABC's Wild World of Sports all over again. So, I don't know. I'm trying to think of other big things that happened just because I'm filled with so much adrenaline right now. I get press conferences and all that. I'll put some of that in the clip in here. But Denny Hamlin finishes runner-up, fifth straight top five. They're fast. Brad Keselowski at third. Tyler Reddick in fourth. His average finish, I know it's only two races, but his average finish here in the two races was 25.5. Not good, obviously. But he got it done. I'm going to go over here to pit wall and sit down for a second. Take this heavy backpack off my back. Just a really... I thought the racing was good today. You know, the softer tire, the hotter weather, track being slick, I'm sure that helps. But you still have to execute. I don't know. The groove widened out a lot today, which was good to see. I mean, by the end, you had Blaney like scraping the wall almost. So it's another race where, you know, it felt like not all the fastest guys were up there. Like Michael McDowell finished 25th. Like, track position was key today, but you could pass. Like, I saw Bubba Wallace, he had a really good car. He went from like 22nd to 12th, I think, in either the middle of stage two or the start of stage three. And then I think they were on the same strategy as who am I trying to think of here? Bell. And they ran long, and he was running as high as fourth. You know, we knew he wasn't going to finish there because he still had to pit, but he ends up 21st. I don't know what happened. I don't know if his car fell off a cliff. I don't know if Booty Barker made the wrong adjustment, but they fell off a ton. And then you had Joey Logano, a much-needed fifth. He's still outside of the playoffs. Could have used a win, but he'll take a good day. Kyle Busch and his Kyle partner in crime, Kyle Larson. Larson finishes 10th with a car that probably wasn't driving as good as he needed it to. You're hearing the Riley Green concert over there. And then Busch ends up 35th. I didn't get to ask him a question at the medical center. You could tell he was ticked off. He's mellowed a bit. I think 5-6 years ago, he's probably cussing out Larson in the world. As I got gum on my shoe now, that's lovely. That's rubber. Had a marble stuck to my shoe. You know, it's frustrating for Busch, especially where he is in the playoffs. Like, he's not in a spot where, you know, he said to Lee Spencer, we can't afford days like this. We can't have days where we finish 35th. And that's, you know, this wasn't an issue of they're slow. He qualified 10th. He wasn't happy yesterday with the way he qualified. But, you know, this was just a day that went horribly wrong for him. And he's racing with Larson for that point for the end of stage two. The crash actually happened on the last lap of stage two. And, you know, just a day that he can't afford to have. I mean, this was probably his best shot to win for the rest of the regular season. He'd finished second and first here in the two races here. And today wasn't on him. He didn't have a winning car. He probably had a 6th to 7th place car, and that's what he said outside the medical center. He's like, I had a top 10 car, we would have finished there. But he doesn't, I mean, he should obviously, you know, he's going to focus on winning. That's what he wants to do. But at the end of the day, he needs points right now. Stage points, top 10s. His strategy for the final 11 races of the regular season needs to be top 10 them to death. Because right now, they don't have winning speed. And they're not in a position to take strategy risks or do anything like that for a win. Like, I'd almost rather be in a Michael McDowell, Harrison Burton must-win situation than be like him, where it kind of feels like he's in a must-win just for like speed purposes to reaffirm that he has what it takes, but at the same time, you got to race for points. Because you race for wins, you take too many risks, you're going to find yourself out of the playoffs. You're going to find yourself racing for nothing those last 10 weeks except pride. And that's not what Kyle Busch wants to do. So, I don't know. It didn't hurt Larson as bad, but P10, I was impressed with his resilience to fight back from that. Hendrick, kind of a no-show on speed. Elliott got up as high as second. You know, he knocked the toe link out kind of early in the race, got in the wall. But I think the best finishing Hendrick car was Larson in 10th, and I think Byron 13th. Bowman was 28th. Five straight top 10s for Alex Bowman. That's over. I mean, they were horrible today. They were off. I mean, like that run I mentioned for Bubba, when he was passing all those guys, Bowman wasn't going anywhere. He restarted like 20th and was 22nd, I think, by the end of that run. He didn't go anywhere. Byron was way off, and I asked him, like, yesterday, is weather being different in practice as opposed to tomorrow going to change anything? He's like, oh, I don't know. Whatever adjustments they made last night that he said they were going to make, they didn't work, obviously. P13, not where they need to be, not where they should be. But again, it doesn't hurt him too bad. Hamlin takes the lead in the regular season standings over Larson and Truex, because Truex had a flat tire. I mentioned he was helping Bell draft. I think he finished 34th today with a flat tire. Had a flat tire early, I think in stage one or two, and never recovered. Never got his track position back. Neither did Michael McDowell, who really could have used a win. And he only ends up 25th today. He's in must-win territory. Sonoma, good chance. Chicago, a chance. Daytona, obviously. I think this is a Michael McDowell's probably the driver that hurts the most from the Glenn being put in the playoffs and not in the regular season. Another chance for him to win. Maybe Indy, too, transitioning back to the Oval. But he finishes 25th in a race where, they had decent speed. I think he finished second in stage one. This is the track where he's led the most laps at now. He led like 30-some-odd laps, maybe 40, before Bell passed him and won the stage. And Bell swept the stages. Had a great points day. Probably garnered like, what, 40-something, maybe 50 points today? Had to be 50, at least. No, I don't know, maybe like 48, 49, somewhere around there. He's locked in, but still. Every point counts, every point matters. So, yeah, Truex had his issue. Cody Ware spun twice, like, the first 15 laps. Derek Krause was involved in one of those. Austin Dillon, I do want to mention him. I think he was 6th or 7th today. They've shut the pylon off. But I think he was, 6th today. Much needed good run for them. They're in a must-win. Carson Hocevar, I talked to him yesterday, about brake rotor issues and all that. But big race for him, because he was really good here a year ago until he blew a rotor going into turn one down there. And that ended his day. Finished last, even though he climbed his way up to like 20th from around 30th starting spot. Finishes 8th today, ran as high as 4th, like on pure speed, and had he not had a slow pit stop, he would have finished this race better than 8th place. Probably 6th, 7th, maybe a top 5. I mean, we'll never know. But he was really, really fast today. And then it's funny, his teammates really struggled. He's the top dog at Spire, not just in the points and results, but across the board. I think Zane Smith, I don't think he got rushed up too early. He's in a third car at an organization that results-wise can't afford to have a third car that's not terrible. Corey LaJoy had a decent start to the season last year, tapered off. This year, there's nothing for him to taper off. He's been terrible. Like, I hate to say it, he's just not been good. Like, he hasn't been as good as he should be either. That car made a huge improvement last year, and I thought this could be his breakout year. Led Daytona, almost won the Daytona 500. Funny, he got intertangled with Austin Cindric, and they just haven't shown any speed since. Like, Atlanta came and went, Talladega came and went. Where's the 7 car? In the back. he might have finished top 5 at Atlanta, actually. I don't remember. He was top 5 in the 500, though. What, didn't he finish 4th in the Daytona 500? I think he did. But aside from that, like, there's been nothing happening for them. I think he's 30th in points, around 31st. Harrison Burton, another no-show day. Nemechek and Jones, legacy struggle again today. Justin Haley in the top 10. I keep forgetting about guys. Haley finished 10th, I think, or 9th. He was 9th because Larson was 10th. Justin Haley, and I know strategy and everything played a part in this. Rick Ware is going to be, like, a competent team this season. I don't think we've seen enough sample size now to know it's not a flash in the pan. Like, they're fast. And I don't think Cody wears it. I think Kaz Grala should be in that car full time. But, dude, if Haley keeps running like this, he's going to find himself in victory lane. I don't know if it'll be at an oval. It might be at a like a normal oval. It might be at a super speedway or road course. But dude, Haley is fast this year. So yeah, I don't know. Those are just my thoughts. This was all over the place. I'm tired. Second straight day I've been out here for like 12 hours straight. But really fun. Great to cover my first race for Yard Barker. Great to get interviews done. So you'll see pressers and interviews and all that type of stuff. Got my post-race interviews done, but I'll put the Austin Cindric thing out, his crew chief Brian Wilson, and Walt Zernecki, a Penske executive, also spoke. I'll get those out. Yardbarker.com/NASCAR, below the L-line, at BTYLpod on Twitter, at below the L-line, YouTube, Spotify, all those places. Like, subscribe, comment, share. We're going to Sonoma next week for the NASCAR Xfinity Series and NASCAR Cup Series. Trucks are off till Nashville on, I think they race on the June 28th. That sounds right. So Austin Cindric is your winner. Ryan Blaney runs out of gas on the final lap and I guess gifts that win to him. But again, like I said, Cindric was opportunistic. I mean, he took advantage when his teammate had a misfortune, and you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure, as they say, and that was the case for Cindric today. So Cindric gets his second career win, first of the year, locked into the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. Congratulations, Austin Cindric, big win for him. I will see you guys later in the week, hopefully pre-race for Sonoma with Emily later in the week, and we'll have Xfinity coverage there as well. Thank you guys for watching. I'm Samuel Stubbs from Below the Line. Goodbye, everybody, and have a great night.